So, you know, so you've already kind of got a glimpse of where we're going today with the book of Jonah. And of all of the Old Testament stories or recountings, I should say, you know, I hate to call them stories because it almost sounds like they're not real. And Jesus referred to Jonah. And so there's some validity that comes with that. But out of all these Old Testament narratives that are in the Bible, there are three that seem to be the best known, right? We have got the temptation of Adam and Eve. Most everybody knows about that. Noah and the ark, right? We all know about Noah and the ark. And then Jonah and the whale. And our kids really did a great job of kind of expressing what we know about the book of Jonah, that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the belly of the big fish, for 3 days. And but to borrow from Paul Harvey, today we're going to be talking about the rest of the story. You know, the story of Jonah begins with this simple command from God. And Jonah's told by God to go and preach against the city of Nineveh. But Jonah refuses what God says to do. And, you know, why was Jonah resistant? It could have been because of the reputation of Nineveh. In chapter 4 of that wonderful book, Jonah confesses that he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was afraid that God might extend mercy to these people. Jonah hated them. And the Assyrians, the Ninevites, were a dreadful people, horrible, brutal. Whenever they came into another place and would capture people and carry them off into slavery. And Jonah hated them. And Jonah knew what God wanted him to do, but he wanted absolutely nothing at all to do with this assignment. He paid his fare and he set sail in the exact opposite direction. Donald Gray Barnhouse used to say, when you run away from the Lord, you will never get to where you are going, and you will always pay your own fare. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get to where you're going, and he pays the fare. Yet Jonah seemed to think that he could outrun or hide from God, and he was simply wrong. That God pursued the prophet in a dramatic fashion. And verse 4 of chapter 1, we're told that the Lord sent a violent storm to assault the ship as he tries to run away. And these are experienced sailors on this vessel. They had seen bad storms before. However, Scripture says this: but the Lord threw a great wind upon the sea, and such a great storm arose upon the ship that it threatened to break it apart. And the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw cargo into the sea to lighten the load. Come on, the sailors said to each other, let us cast lots. And then we will know who's to blame for the trouble we're in. And so they cast lots, and they singled out Jonah. Now notice what happened when Jonah was resistant to the Lord. His disobedience put other people in peril. The men on the boat were suffering as a result of the disobedience of this one man. When we rebel against the Lord, right, God's going to pursue us. And he will break us one way or another. And it may hurt, and it may put others at risk in the process. You know, the captain goes and he finds Jonah actually sleeping while all of this is taking place, and he rebukes him. And so Jonah gets on, you know, he kind of gets at the picture, and he gets up on the main deck, and the crew casts lots to determine who's the cause of this violent storm. And I mean, even these sailors, right, these people who didn't know the truth, they knew that this storm was a message. And the lot fell to Jonah, and the men asked him, what did you do? And Jonah tells them the story, and these guys ask, these sailors ask, what do we need to do to appease your God? Jonah responded really kind of matter-of-factly to this, and he said, pick me up and put me into the sea so that it will calm down for you, for I know that I am to blame for this great storm that is against you. Now, truth be told, this is probably not the only option that Jonah had. I think Jonah could have said, well, you know what, if we turn the ship around and go in the direction that I'm supposed to be going, the storm will calm. In fact, I bet you they would have seen a tailwind like no other tailwinds. They probably would have reached Nineveh in record time. But Jonah simply says, I'd rather die than go to Nineveh. Chuck me into the sea. Now, have you ever dug your heels in like this when God was talking to you? And God saying something to you, and you're, no, God, I will not do X, Y, or Z. It's the act of a fool. Because God is not going to be thwarted by our rebellion. Now, the sailors tried everything that they could in order to save Jonah, who was the cause of all their trouble. But finally, with a prayer of forgiveness, asking for God's forgiveness, they dropped him into the water, and the water grew calm, and all the sailors worshiped. And we're told then that the Lord provided this great fish to swallow Jonah, and the fish being next to the boat was not an accident. This fish was on a mission of its own to go and get Jonah and bring him to the shore. A mentor of mine years ago said that when you are at the bottom of the barrel of life, right, when you're just laying there at the bottom of the barrel, the only direction you have to look is up. And so that's what happens. Jonah's at the bottom, not of a barrel, but of a fish. And he has one direction to look, and that's up. And he prays, and he repents. And in the prayer, Jonah admitted that God was in charge. And he almost seemed stunned that God did not give up on him. So Jonah agrees, I will go to Nineveh if you spare my life. And that's what happens. The fish belches and Jonah is up on the shore. So Jonah's true to his word. He goes to Nineveh and he heads there with a simple message. In 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Not the friendliest of messages. And I imagine Jonah said this over and over and over again as he traveled throughout that city. But the people responded. And from this simple message, these seven words, one of the greatest revivals on earth happened. The people of Nineveh believed the message. They demonstrated repentance. They mourned over their sin. And as a result of their genuine repentance, God relents from this promised judgment. Church, God is always more eager to save than he is to condemn. Oh, if only Jonah would end right there. But there's so much more to the story. Chapter 4, we find Jonah after this incredible revival. And he's sitting outside of the city pouting. Jonah is livid that God would show mercy to these people. Now, the same prophet that just days before had experienced such incredible mercy by God, to be thrown into the sea, the middle of the sea, only to be saved by this fish, because he had tried to run away, was now angry that God was showing, that same God that saved him, that God was showing mercy to someone else. He must have reasoned, right, in his own crazy mind that this childish tantrum would change God's mind. I mean, how foolish. How so much like us. You know, we seem to feel that when we don't get our way, that we can somehow punish God. Something happens and we punish God. We stop attending worship. We withhold our finances. We refuse to read the Bible or pray. We somehow think that we, the creature, is bringing some sort of pressure upon the Almighty. Church, in reality, all we are doing is digging ourselves deeper into the hole. So what God does, as Jonah is pouting over God's mercy, is that he causes this vine to come and grow next to him and provided some shade and for the prophet and some refreshment. And Jonah probably thought, oh, well, that's more like it, God. And in the first time in the book, we're told that Jonah was glad. But then God causes a worm to eat through the vine so that it withers, and God turns up the heat and he makes Jonah miserable. And so Jonah once again is angry at God, and God confronts him. And God says to him, do you have any right to be angry about the vine? You can almost see Jonah with his arms crossed. Well, yes, I do. So God drives home the point. He says, you cared about that plant, which you did not labor over, and you did not grow. It appeared in a night and perished in a night. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 120,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many other animals. And that message hits hard, right? Jonah, doesn't it seem odd to you that you are more concerned about a plant than 120,000 people of this city? And that's where the book ends. I don't know about you. I love Jonah. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of questions when I come to the end of Jonah. Did Jonah ever get the point? Did Jonah ever repent? Did Jonah go down to the city and participate in what God was doing? Did Jonah ever look to the heavens and say, God, thank you? Or God, I'm sorry. God, I get it. And we don't know. And I think that's the point. It's almost as if the Lord leaves the story there to hang so that we can ask those same questions about our own hearts. Now, I think there are so many applications we can draw from this story, but let me just share a couple with us this morning. And first, I think we learn a lesson of obedience, right? Because if you are a child of God, you are called to obedience. We are not given the right to debate the will of God. We are called to trust in God's character and grace. Because the price of disobedience is costly. When we are disobedient, we we are so quick to say, you know, it only affects me. And church, that is baloney. Our sin, our disobedience costs everybody. It affects the people who surround you. It affects this world. Secondly, I think we learn a lesson about God's sovereignty. And it's easy for us to forget who holds the power of creation in his hands. That God can use any and all circumstances for his purposes. That God used the sea, he used a plant, he used a worm, he used a fish, all of that to reach his messenger. And that God is actively pursuing our growth as his children. That God will use the circumstances of our life to guide us, to train us, and to use us. And when the circumstances of life assault us, we should be like those sailors and look for the message of God. We need to pay attention. Thirdly, I think we learn a lesson about God's love as we read Jonah. Now think about how great the love of God that comes through this book. That God loved Nineveh enough to send Jonah to them. Right? A people who he condemned, he sends a messenger to rescue them. God loved Jonah enough to pursue him across the sea. He loved Jonah enough to give him another chance after his rebellion. He loved Nineveh enough to relent from judgment. He loved Jonah enough to patiently instruct him rather than to punish him. Because even though we may turn the wrong way, God will not give up on us. God will not give up on us. Even though we may make a mess out of our circumstances, God will not give up on us. He will continue to love us and give us opportunities to know him and to serve him. Church, the book of Jonah should lead us into songs of praise and thanksgiving. Because this is the God we serve. And I hope this morning that you're able to see that the story of Jonah is really so much more than about a man who was swallowed by a fish and spent there 3 days there. It is an invitation by God to be real, to know that God loves you and has a purpose for your life. It is a story about the ways of God. It is a story that speaks to us about our prejudice and our hate. It is a story that tells us about the nature of God's love for us. It's a story that tells the nature of God's love for those people, whoever those people are. And may we have hearts open to hear it. Hearts willing to pursue it. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your unrelenting love towards us. And we pray, oh God, that I'm not quite sure who we want to be in this story. But help us to be the one that obeys, that trusts in you, to recognize that our sin is costly. But to remember that you never give up on us. You know, Lord, here we are. Please use us. Jesus, we pray all this in your name. Amen. Some things for us to be thinking about this week as we journey together, right? We've got Jamonville, We've got all those youth and all the leaders who are going, and we send them in God's grace and God's power. Melanie and McKenna Hoyman, who are down in the Dominican Republic right now on a mission trip and doing working with a medical missionary, seeking to help those who have no care. The Sullivans and Christian Cater heading to Nigeria? Zambia, thank you. Heading to Zambia later this summer. Praying God's protection over them. This week is annual conference. On Wednesday night, we will be having that vote where the annual conference will then say that all the work of the 299 churches that are disaffiliating, that work is done. Obedience, following God, will lead us into circumstances that we may not be aware of, we may not know. But each time we are obedient to God, we bring God glory. And let's remember to continue to count the cost, to be obedient and follow after him. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for what you are up to. Lord, we pray that our eyes would be open, that we would be aware, for God, how you are working, and that we may join in with you. We pray for our youth, and as they leave for Jamonville today, that, Lord, it is a safe week. But Lord, we also pray that it's a week where hearts can be broken, and that lives could be changed and altered forever because of your Holy Spirit. Or protect the leaders and give them extra energy as they participate. Lord, for the Hoymans, for the Sullivans, for Christian Cater, and as they either are going or will be going, Lord, surround them with your protection. And Lord, we pray expectantly that your Holy Spirit is already at work in people, and that, Lord, you are using these servants. Lord, we pray for annual conference that is coming up this week. And Lord, we pray for your presence there. Lord, that we will act like Christians. That, Lord, we will love one another, even though we may disagree. But that we will love each other. And Lord, we do pray for a positive vote. And we look forward to God where you are leading us. Thank you, dear God, for walking with us, for never, ever giving up on us. And may we follow after you. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful Sunday.